Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've got a salad in a bowl.
Oh, is it like is it a cardboard bowl from like a place that is we do bowls?
I think to kind of get takeaways and then to go for like a salad option feels like, one, like a healthier, better choice, like you're really growing up, but two, like really LA.
Yeah, I like to go to a salad place and then ultimately order some kind of, sometimes they have like a meal which really gets quite far away from salad. It's like a lot of rice and it's hot and maybe there's like nacho chips on the top. Like I go to the healthy place and order the worst thing they've got.
Like a bowl? You know, people call it a bowl?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was an amazing...
What's in your salad?
Oh, you know, I often just go for a Caesar.
Really? A little bit of boiled egg, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of bacon. Croutons? Croutons in there?
Yeah, there is something crunchy, but I think it might be cheese. Like a burnt cheese that they've like crumbled over top. And I had my first kind of cultural clash because I'm in Melbourne. And I was like, I'll get kumara, please. And she was like, what? And then I was like, kumara. Kumara, like totally didn't realize that it was like a New Zealand specific word, because you know it is that one word that like even the racists will use.
Yeah, isn't sweet potato and kumara two separate things as well?
That's what I kind of thought.
Yeah,
I always think of sweet potato is more of a yam.
Yeah, kind of, and more orangey, right? I think of the red. Sorry, my mic's screwing up. A red kumara is a kumara to me.
Yes.
But I guess they're all kumara.
Yeah, I don't know, but truly all just sweet potato over here.
Wow.
So, you know, and then she was like, I'm going to really, she was Irish, and I kind of went American just then. she's like, I'm going to really run with that. Fuck, I think I used to be able to do accents, and now I can't.
I get worse and worse as years go on. And truthfully, the reason I ever wanted to be a performer is because I saw someone do an Irish accent in a play, and I was like, that's so fun. And then I really thought accents were going to be my thing.
After Banshees of Inisherin, I thought I could do it, but then I thought I could do it. But anyway, Cure theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the mayo game. Game. They're both male and they're both gay. The mayo game.
Hey, welcome along to this week's episode of The Mayo Gays.
You're really giving me kind of old broadcasting. And welcome along. Like RNZ. You're giving me Cam
RNZ,
Hill,
good morning.
Actually.
I am Jesse Mulligan. In headlines today, Demi Lovato. I was thinking about that clip of Demi being interviewed and being like, what's your favorite dish? And then Demi says, I really like a mug.
Oh my! Oh, obsessed. We'll never get
really
over that. Also obsessed with the video of Demi singing "Skyscraper" to the Ghost.
Yes. you know what? There is something to be said about looking for your clips on YouTube. Like it's kind of like it feels analog. You know, because you have to really dig. Whereas you know, on TikTok, it's like it's automatic. It's just throwing content at you. Whereas like when you go onto YouTube, you're really having to like go into the mines and hunt for your content.
I love trying to find
You've got to put your mic on something stable.
I reckon you're right. Yeah, I might have to put it on a book. Give me a second.
It's good.
I'm going to not move, which I think will be really good for my energy on the podcast. Just going to sit still. My thumb is kind of holding the base of the mic stand.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Technology is failing us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. You just seem so uptight.
I seem uptight.
Because of, like, your janky little cable in your microphone.
I know. I think ultimately I just need to buy a new mic cable, but I just don't even know where you would go to do that.
Probably the place you bought it from 2 years ago.
The internet. But Tim Batt just gave me the link and I clicked it. So I'm not going to trawl through messages.
It is so hard doing stuff for yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. I was just going to say I had a cold call a former All Black for work like 10 minutes before I got here. That's actually why I was late, which actually the listeners don't know because they don't know that we started this a little bit later than we thought. But God, I'm really trying to get over my fear of cold calling people because it is an important part sometimes of just jobs. And today I just had to call someone quite famous and I got a seance right away and was actually very warm and friendly, as most people are when they answer the phone. So it was fine.
I was on the project doing the news, but in a fun way. And I always learn something when I come back on the project, which is crazy, you know, because I guess it is the news and it was new information to me. And telephobia, I think they call it, which is the fear of making phone calls, and it's on the rise. Apparently, it's a big block for not just you, but lots of people.
Yeah, because we're so used to bloody texting, and texting is so easy, and it's a dream. And some of my closest friends, I will never, ever speak to on the phone. I'll mean seeing them in real life where I'm texting.
I'm a huge phone guy. Love to just, if I feel like it's a text, like a big, long text, I'd rather get on the blower. And then my other option would then be to voice memo and then text.
Wow. Really? Text last. Well, now I feel like, am I driving our communication methods? Because I don't know when the last time you would have called me was. Voice message a bit, though.
I mainly voice memo my husband, especially when like touring. We send each other a little mini podcast, basically.
Cute.
It's a great way, and you can just listen to it while you're sort of pottering
Welcome
around.
Welcome along to this week's episode of Your Husband's Day.
Yeah, basically.
So cute. I like to thank my sponsor, Hoyts.
Oh my God. He's not going to Hoyts. Where is the Hoyts? Is there a Hoyts in Auckland?
Yeah. I couldn't say where, but there is
Event
definitely
feel one. Like they got the stranglehold on. Isn't it funny the word like stranglehold and chokehold have just become like colloquialisms, but then you hear it and then you're like, that is so intense.
It's a very aggressive language. Choking is full on.
Yeah.
Hoyts Sylvia Park, which actually used to be the go-to place for movie premieres before the advent of the Newmarket Mall. A gorgeous place.
Oh, heavenly. We actually went there the other day, and we were almost going to have dinner in the mall. And I was a little bit excited about it because I do feel at home in that space. But we didn't follow through because it was like, it's too much money to spend on a meal that you're really ducking and diving around the mall between places that you think are quite bad and also places with quite racist names.
Yeah, and some of it's quite expensive as well. Sometimes it's all of that in one place and it's $33 for a meal. The good luck is, though, I rate the food court above the restaurants up top.
Yeah. Oh.
The food court space. 100%. I adore it.
Because you're eating at a mall, so why would you choose to go higher brow? Like, get a mall curry. Like, if you're eating in the mall, go for that full experience.
Be part of the community. Don't pretend you're better than it.
Exactly.
Don't pretend you're not in a mall. Can I tell you about a little treat that I ate today?
Yes.
You'll hate it. It's like a cherry ripe bite. New product.
Oh. Okay. Was it gifted?
No. It was gifted by a colleague, but they bought one for everyone in the office because they loved them so much and wanted everyone to try it. And guess what? Reviews are in. Not one person refused it, and everyone said they liked it. So you cherry ripe fuckwits that say you don't like cherry...
Whoa. Excuse me. Can you please take 3 deep breaths? Because I am not anti-cherry ripe.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am pro everything else.
Okay, that's fair. I'm really sorry for lashing out. But people do, and yeah. I'm not saying it's you, but a lot of people have a lot to say about cherry ripes. And guess what? If people hated them so much, no one would buy them, they would stop selling them. The fact that they're still on the shelves is...
Again, You don't need to be like.
Oh my God. Anyway, it's almost like a half an egg full of bloody delicious cherry and some jelly and some coconut.
Oh, that's interesting. They've played with the textures a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more than you get in the bar.
You know, I think Cherry Ripe is just dealing with the idea that there's a couple of other stars in the box that, you know, are more crowd pleasers. Even though Cherry Ripe has like a real, she is a niche movie star. You know, she is like, who would she be? Like,
no, but she is the punchline. She's
a Lena Dunham of the favorite box.
Do you reckon? But Lena Dunham is something that we all liked at one point, and then we everyone kind of moved on from because it was problematic. Lena Dunham is Nestle.
Hello. Oh, Guy Montgomery is listening to our podcast.
Gorgeous.
I got the door wide open. What's your argument, Guy? A niche movie star. Judy Greer? Do you know who that is?
I think it needs to be someone who's kind of like popular, but people love to punch down on a lot.
That's why I'm saying Lena Dunham.
Because
now people are going back thinking, you know what? Girls wasn't that bad. Girls was actually quite funny. We just didn't get it at the time and it just became a joke.
Yeah, true. I was thinking maybe like Brie Larson. Brie Larson gets a lot of shit.
Yeah, or who's the girl from, woman, actress, comedian. She's in the Divergent.
Shailene Woodley. Shailene Woodley. Yeah,
Do you sometimes do that where you can't think of the name and you just sort of like roughly go through the sounds of the name and hoping someone else will pick it up?
Yeah.
It's like Shailene Woodley.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all right to do that if the person is white.
White.
Hey, we got to talk. One of the reasons that we're doing an episode is actually because there was a giant protest on the weekend, and at the protest, someone did say to me, "You better do an episode this week."
And actually, it's so good that more gay male voices are thrown into this conversation.
Oh my gosh, that is really getting to me at the moment, is the fact that there's no trans people on any of these panels talking about this on the media.
And it's like, I'm sure they want to speak as well.
Yeah,
it's just so weird that they're never it is the subject of the issue that people are talking about. You'd think you'd talk to someone who has a lived experience of it.
Yeah. The person who the hate speech is towards. I heard someone say something today and I just spun out about, they were like, imagine if it flipped. Imagine if it was a trans rights protest and then that was like pulled down and people weren't allowed to speak by the others. And I was like, well, that's a completely different thing.
Because, but also, that's kind of what Posey Parker's arguing anyway, is that she doesn't want trans women in her spaces.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, she's like, you're not allowed in here anyway. Like, the voices are being silenced.
Anyway.
It's pretty gnarly stuff, if there's any, like, trans folk listening to this, you know, and I'm sure in many ways we should probably move on so that you can
enjoy some chill stuff, more of this
discourse, because it has gone on and on and on in a way that is so ugly. What is the temperature of New Zealand at the moment in terms of this Christopher Luxon debacle, in terms of him demanding an apology from Marama Davidson about her comments around white men?
To all cis white men, he wanted an apology from Marama to the people affected in the community being cis, the community of cis white men. I would say it still feels very much like the news is focused on Marama, which is so shit. I'm like, God,
she got hit by a motorbike.
She got hit by a motorbike. She says so many amazing, powerful things, being accosted by someone from bloody Counterspin Media, the worst people in the world. And then this one thing's been pulled out. One thing which is actually, I mean, you can't say it's factually accurate because the stats are skewed, because people don't get convicted for domestic violence offence. And the people that do get convicted are, it's still more white people than brown people, but still. Those groups are overrepresented, but it's because of all the systemic problems. I don't know.
It just seems ridiculous that it is the point of the conversation. That is the outcome of that protest. Is that you're going to make that the story? It just seems so ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I feel like people are getting so far away from the fact that this is... These TERFs are speaking about a threat that doesn't exist. They're making it up. It's all made up, fictionalized stories about people transitioning because they want to invade the woman's bathroom, which has never happened, doesn't happen. It's fiction.
It's, I think, really revealing the immense difficulty in terms of this conversation in the wake of like fake news and people being able to just pull a fact from an unknown source and be like, well, here's some evidence. And you're like, where have you found this? Because you haven't had to, you've had to search far and wide, and it is most likely definitely made up.
Yeah. To the worst corners of the internet. And there's no coincidence why, like,
why are you on such a rampage? Like, get on with your life.
Yeah.
Just get on with your life. You clearly don't know any trans people.
I saw this same, you know, Mike King's son. His name is, I can't remember. He's a rapper, and he's like, speaks out about, basically was massively anti-vax, and now has moved on to this issue, and that is like such a huge correlation, is like all the people who are jumping on this bandwagon are people who used to be anti-vax. And he did a tweet making the opposite point, being like, do you notice that any of the people who aren't actually LGBTIQ+, who are jumping in defense of these trans issues, are the same people who told us to get the COVID jab? And I'm like, yeah, that's because they're people who listen to science and reason and credible sources. Anyway,
where do you begin? Like, everyone is so firmly in their camps, you know, like there's like that the discourse online in particular feels just so futile, because it's like, it's not, no one is listening. Like, no one is listening. And you know, I mean, we are right, which is like the really, you know, that's the hard bit to communicate, isn't it? To be like, well,
people need to listen and learn.
You're wrong.
But you are wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear any more of what you have to say, because it is trash.
What do you do? Like, how do you... You, like, have to show them their evidence. Or, like, the thing is, and this is what it comes down to again, like, if we just had, like, if the media allowed for more trans people to be at the front of this discourse and conversation and be able to lead it from their experience, their point of view, then... You know, you can't really deny someone's experience of something, I keep thinking.
Yeah.
Versus like a political hot take is like, you know, weirdly up for debate, because that is one person's political stance, versus someone's lived experience of something is like, you know, even though they'll have a crack at it.
When people are like, oh, they're jumping on the woke bandwagon or whatever, but you couldn't say that if the person speaking was the person who the issue actually affects. That's why I'm like, we need more trans people. We need the media to get trans people on air instead of, and wonderful people are speaking on this issue, but none of them have the lived experience.
Do you I've forgotten the name of our Queen of the Week. Do you have her name?
Her name is Ellie. Hold up.
Let's go for our little sting, because I know it's in there somewhere.
Ali Rubashkin, the rainbow refugee, intersex trans woman who threw tomato juice on Fozzie Parker, and who has, I mean, her social media, she's tweeting like truly every few minutes, but it's all so good. And she just writes slay at the end of all her tweets. And it gets me so much.
What is it? I think I loved for a good long time. There was a period where we were trying to get the facts straight on whether it was sauce, soup, or juice.
I know. It was paint for a little bit. It went paint, then soup, then sauce, then juice.
What is it? It's juice.
It's juice. I believe it's like a Kerry tomato juice from it.
Which I think is a great drag name now.
Kerry tomato
juice. Yeah.
It's so good.
I was also thinking about like Albert Park being the space that is like, I was also talking to Michael about it, because he's done some work around this, like in terms of the, you know, queer liberation. Like Albert Park is such a cornerstone for that, you know, in terms of it being in the university campus. Like there was a lot of like queer liberation kicking off in that rotunda, like in that space. And so it does feel so particularly targeted that Posey Parker wanted to have the conference like this. What was it? Because it wasn't a conference.
No, she just wanted to speak for the whole thing is so weird, eh?
So stupid. I'm like, you've got an online space. Like, this could have been a Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. And she's speaking all the time. And it's kind of like a meet and greet. Is that what it is?
I don't know. Like,
if she was to speak, would she just say the? Does she say the same thing in every place she goes? But then they're all live streamed, so it's all on the internet.
Well, that's the thing. Is it an intentional, like, choice of, like, you know, to, like, sort of aggravate and sort of bring down and protest? Like, it is not. It is not a conference. It doesn't seem like a conference. Like, it is like, you know, this, it's out in this sort of public space.
Yeah, it's an outdoor venue. And they've all been outdoors, right? So I'm, or at least
it's a rally. It feels like a rally.
Yeah. A rally that like 20, 30 people show up to. And five of them are Nazis. This is crazy.
It's so crazy.
I hate her fucking sunglasses so much. little white sunglasses.
It's, I was like weirdly in this like really, I think because everyone would be talking about it so much and like you've been watching clips of her online and then like you're sort of like really, really there to like, you know, support everyone and be behind this like massive like, you know, silencing of it. And then there's a little part of you that gets like almost starstruck.
Because
you're like, that's her! That's why we're here!
I caught a small glimpse of it. Yeah, like the signs moved out of the way for a brief time, and I saw her do some pointing, and I was like, wow, she's going for it.
It was, you know, it was like so beautiful the way that it transformed into this sort of trans, like, what would you call it? Like, I guess.
Just trans rights celebration. Just trans celebration. Just
like, and such a beautiful intersection of like protesters and brass band players.
I know. And anyone who brought their recorder was so good.
Yeah.
Just people knocking pots.
I had bought a new thermos and I was really showing it off. You know, I was really proud of this thermos. And then I needed a noisemaker. I realized I didn't turn up with one. So I put some coins in that thermos and was shaking it. And I've really smashed that thermos up.
Yeah. Oh, is it dented on the inside?
But for the cause, you know, for the cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I had been whacking sort of $3.50 around in it for about 30 minutes.
So it was a really nice new thermos, Chris.
I know.
So it was. It's still functioning though, right? And you did clean it as well after that grubby coin.
Yeah, I was like, I do not want whatever kind of strange finger disease I'm going to get from drinking a coffee out of this.
Do you want to know something haunting?
Yes.
You're meant to wash your reusable drink bottle every day. Otherwise, it gets bacteria in it. Yeah. I don't
Isn't
do that.
Isn't it funny, like, water bottle culture has become such a thing?
Mm.
But, like, I used to thrash around a pump for, like, a month.
Yeah, I've actually got a pump right now because I had to buy one in Dunedin. But you do feel not like to bring it out in public. You feel like a naughty anti-environment.
But then, I've been on TikTok and there's all these little like girlies online who are buying these like Frank Green surprise boxes. Has this popped up on your TikTok at all? So it's like a promotion that they did, I think, where they had like all this dead stock that they were trying to get rid of, and you could just pay like X amount and get a whole bunch of thermoses and drink bottles or whatever, like thrown into a box. And then you got, it was like Lucky Dip, and everyone's kind of opening them and like either being like, yes, the colors I like, or, oh God, I don't like this. And it's so weird to be like hoarding like a drink bottle that's whole intention is about like sustainability and like buying less. You just need one.
It's so weird how totes and drink bottles I just get given and keep cups.
Yeah.
I've been given so many.
Yeah.
And these things that are meant to help us be more sustainable, companies are like, whack my logo on it, print it out, send it to whoever will take it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that keep cups are kind of like USBs in that sense that they're not in your life permanently. They're sort of temporarily there. Like you might, they're sort of flings. Yeah, that you have them for a couple of weeks, a month, maybe a year, and then it sort of it goes separate ways. It goes to, like, you know, stays on the plane and travels to Bali or something.
But then do you worry that if that keep cup gets thrown out? Because I heard this, I don't know if this is true, that...
Wait, where have you been your facts from?
Counterspin, my favourite radio station. They, what's the new Peter Williams one? I don't know, but there's billboards everywhere.
Oh, I've seen that.
They're everywhere. Rodney Hart, like, Peter Williams, Chantel, whatever her name is.
Like, the real conversation. And then there's a little part of you that thinks, I don't think it is.
Well, yeah, I don't think it is a real conversation.
I think it's your conversation. Yeah. They're like, equal debate. I was like, I think you've been like, let's have this debate on my turf now.
Oh my gosh, Rachel Smalley this week? Oh my God, I'm so glad her show's at 5 a.m. so no one listens to it. Anyway. you have to use a reusable bag like 20,000 times for it to be worthwhile compared to just using one plastic bag once. And I wonder if that's the same for keep, like, if you're constantly losing keep cups, would it be better to just go your softy cups all the time?
I honestly love a brown paper bag from Countdown, and I truly think too. There's a weird judgment that they give you when you're like, can I buy a 20 cent bag? And they're sort of like, oh, you haven't remembered you're reusable, you chump. But it is a much better option for me. It's probably doing less damage to the environment, and I get to tear it up and put it in my compost.
I like them, but I'm often buying 1.5 litres of olive oil, which ultimately will rip through the bag within seconds.
How much olive oil do you... You love frying eggs, eh?
I have fried eggs every morning. I use olive oil with every meal in the evening. I'm using olive oil all the time. Never stop.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Good on olive oil, eh?
They're gorgeous.
Really, I'm so glad olive oil hasn't become a sustainability issue.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? It's like milk, almonds.
Eggs.
And then, like, but olive oil has slipped on through.
Keep on coming. Yeah. I'd hate. Imagine
probably
if
is. You know
stopped.
What? Probably is.
Yeah, probably. Probably within a few weeks, we're going to be like, oh, this supermarket has olive oil, so go there. They're one of the last ones.
Or just like what it's doing to the environment or something, like harvesting all those olives. But they're just tiny little things.
Everything.
It is so weird that when you eat them, you have to take them out of your mouth again. Like, it's that. It is wild eating an olive in front of people.
Because of the little seeds.
Yeah, it's... I can't think of a way to make it classy. Like, I've yet to sort of eat an olive. Because you're sort of always fiddling with this little stone in your lips at the end of the olive. And it's at the beginning when dinner's still sort of chic and you haven't sort of carved into your chicken yet.
It's embarrassing when you leave, when you go to put the pit back in, and there's quite clearly quite a little bit of olive flesh still on. Like, yeah. You didn't actually eat all the olive. And I find with the fat green olives, that happens a lot as well.
Yes.
It's hard to clean them up.
Yeah, and then you're like putting them in that little toilet bowl with all the other little stones, and it just feels... You know, humiliating.
Hey, I went to your favorite cafe finally in Dunedin when I was there, because you told me to go years ago, and then I finally went. Got a Reuben sandwich, side on. Gorgeous spot.
Best cafe in Dunedin.
Actually went 2 days in a row, and they've just recently opened a new place that I also went to 2 days in a row called Pizza Bar, which is pizza and cocktails.
Oh, God.
Just around the corner from the old place.
I truly think Dunedin is one of the greatest cities in the world.
I think it's... I often love it. This time, I will say, it was freezing cold. There is roadworks.
Don't you love that?
No. It was so great. It was like cold and dark. It felt like nighttime all day.
Yeah, love that.
No, and there was roadworks all down the main strip, which I appreciate. It's going to re-enliven the city. But like at the moment, for the time that I was there, also I didn't have any friends that were in town with me. So I was just kind of wandering around alone in the cold. That was a big part of my experience. But I had a great time doing the shows and met lovely people.
Didn't you like almost die or something when you were in hospital?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I haven't even brought that up on this pod.
What happened?
So
you didn't even tell me, I think. And then someone was like, I saw Eli in hospital and his close friends. And I was like, I missed that. So I either didn't see it or I'm not in Eli's close friends.
You're definitely in my close friends. You must have just not chosen to ignore a green circle on Instagram.
I know. It's actually because you know that it's something good.
Yeah.
How many green circles do you reckon you get? I've got a couple of people who are like active green circlers.
Yeah.
But then like... It's very rare.
Yeah, I would say on the regular, there's like five-ish people. But then amazing sometimes to scroll. You know, sometimes you scroll and you find the people you actually haven't looked at their story, and then to see a green circle you haven't even watched their red circle stories, and then you're like, oh my God, this relationship is defined differently to both of us.
It is amazing when you're like, oh my God, I'm in these close friends. It's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the goss. I had a pain in my stomach just to the right of my belly button, and then I
Googled, what kind of pain?
It was weird. It was like a hard, it felt like hard. It didn't really feel hot. Like anything I'd felt before. It didn't feel like a stomach bug. It was just like,
I'm constantly getting like sharp pains in my body in like different places. And I'm always just like, oh, that'll work itself out. Like I never would think, you know, ooh, time to call the ambulance.
Yeah. Maybe you have chronic pain like Lady Gaga.
No, it's like, it'll be like, oh, maybe that's like the food I'm processing, or I don't know, like,
yeah. I used to randomly when I was a kid, I was like, sure, there was maybe, I was like, one day I'm gonna go to the doctor and they're gonna be like, oh, this is wrong with you, and then they'll remove that thing, like the Simpsons episode I watched recently where Homer has a crayon in his brain, and then they take it out, and then suddenly like all the things that you've ever been bad at or that you didn't understand, you suddenly get because there's a crayon on your brain.
Yes, I would love that.
Anyway, this pain was like really annoying me for a day, and then I couldn't sleep overnight, and then I kind of Googled the appendix thing because I was like, maybe this is that because it feels like it's getting worse and I've been awake all night.
I couldn't point to you where my appendix is.
Well, I can tell you now, if you get appendicitis, the pain will start directly behind your belly button and then it will move slightly to the right.
Behind your belly button?
Yeah.
It's so weird to think of your body like having pains in the middle of your body. Like, you always think it's like close to the skin.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, we're thick, aren't we?
There's a lot of little boys
there's
in
bits
here.
In the middle of it. You're like, I would never think like, you know, I can't feel the middle of my body.
There's flaps and crevices and all sorts inside there. I would hate to see my organs. I would never get it out of my head.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I would love to see them, actually.
Really?
Just to have another thing to feel insecure about would be quite cool.
The thing... You ever talked about like a woman who's given birth and they've talked about like after you give birth and then your organs were in like different places around the baby and then you can feel them moving back to their homes. Oh!
It's amazing. Isn't the human body amazing?
I went to the doctor and she was like, that is probably your appendix. So then I had to pick up all my stuff, go straight to the hospital.
Were you in Dunedin?
No, I was in Auckland. This was like, 24 hours before I was meant to fly. And so then I was in the hospital all day, and I had to get a CT scan when they put the dye, inject the antibody. I fainted during the blood test because they tried three veins before they could get any blood to come out.
Oh, brother.
Really bad. And after I fainted, one of the nurses, so like 10 people ran into the room because the alarm sounded and everyone runs in.
Into your room?
Into my room.
Were you loving that attention a little bit, or were you scared?
Well, then one of them said, weren't you on Dancing with the Stars just after I fainted in my hospital gown, like, so dazed. I was like, yeah.
But when will you ever not see me in a state of distress?
I know, from one trauma to another. But I always faint from blood tests. I hate them. I wish, and every time I try and be a big, brave boy, and the last one I had, I was fine, but something about blood coming out of my body really miss. I don't know if it's. I've also got a crazy low heart rate. Like sometimes my Apple Watch tells me something's off because it will go below 40
I've
for
heard
overnight.
The Apple Watch doing this to people, and I just think it shouldn't. Like,
no, I think it's
the Apple
wrong.
Watch should be like, I think that Apple Watch needs to find a way to communicate that information that's a little more chill.
Yeah, yeah. It stopped doing it for me, so either my heart rate's gone up or it's just had an update and chilled out a little bit. Because I was kind of scared, but I think that my theory is that is maybe why blood tests are crazy for me and why they have to try multiple veins, because my heart rate's quite slow, so maybe the blood's not pumping around my body as quick as it should.
I really hate to like take this moment away from you, but do you have a fact of the gay? Because I'm sort of saying that from the position of having done no research.
What I looked up, actually, what I thought was going to be an interesting fact of the gay, and it's kind of relates to the Queen of the Week. So our Queen of the Week, Ellie, was born intersex, which is one of those things that I'm like, the whole TERF argument just immediately falls apart if you just realize that intersex people are not just around, but a significant part of the population. And so then I was trying to find out how many intersex people there are in New Zealand, because I remember hearing a fact that there's more intersex people than redheads. Like, they're a bigger population than redheads.
Wow.
And so there was one academic article written almost 2 decades ago suggesting roughly 2.3% of the population would be intersex. But we don't know the stats. But, three big buts here. We just, of course, did our census in New Zealand.
I was just thinking that.
They asked questions about gender and sexuality for the first time, so we actually might get some legitimate stats on this soon. So the fact of the gate is, coming soon, there might be some facts.
It's a work in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it? It is amazing that, because now, was I supposed to do the census? I wasn't there.
No, if you're not in the country, you don't do it.
What amazing.
That's why Harry Styles had to do it.
So weird that Harry Styles is speaking about his experience in the country versus mine, but whatever.
Yeah, he's counted. He's been counted for.
What do they want to know?
I honestly can't. I remember it being really quick in terms of forms that you have to fill out. It was nothing compared to like the survey after you do the Fringe Festival. That's like 2 hours long.
Or like the survey on the plane. You know, God. I fill that out so many times, but I still have to read every single question because I just feel like they're going to throw one. Because it's always like, no. And I'm always scared they've thrown a yes in there just to keep you on your toes.
The census, you have to do a Oh my gosh, have you noticed on the plane when you do your touchscreen booking in now, they've moved it, because it used to be like, did you pack your own bags, and you press yes, and then it says, did you have ammunitions, and you have to press no.
No,
and
yes.
If you like accidentally double tapped, but now they've moved the little button, so they're not, you won't accidentally double tap anymore.
I have accidentally double tapped before, yeah, and it was a pain.
You were like, oh, you accidentally told them you had
just
a gun
in
your
arms.
Bag.
Yeah. Stupid. So stupid.
What were we possibly talking about before?
The census. Just kind of what they want to know.
You have to fill out your dwelling form and say like how many bedrooms there are in it, and if you have gas or electricity.
I do think they
maybe
could ask, yeah, like crazier questions. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, be like, what's your star sign, and do you
like what's your favorite color?
Yeah,
and then we could
be
like
good.
Do the flag, you know, just surprise everyone with something, or like, yeah, you know, are you do you run hot or cold?
What was the song of the summer for 2023 for you?
Yeah, exactly. It'd be amazing.
Beard mustaches amazing is, or beer faces.
It's like, I've really noticed like the Vegemite, Marmite like difference in Australia. So, because in New Zealand, we have equal amounts of Vegemite and Marmite on the shelf. So you just don't see Marmite here. And I do think that's so crazy, because you can get like Whittaker's here. You can get most.
Oh, yeah. Is Whittaker's available in Australia?
Basically, yeah. I saw some.
Tim Tams are in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically exactly the same except no Marmite, which is sort of weird.
Do they have Vogels?
Now, that I cannot confirm.
Because they do have Vogels in the UK, but it's different. It's like, it's the Vogels in the UK is a bit more like Bergen.
This is like what Monty and I were talking about with how everyone used to think Cadbury chocolate was made like in their home, but it's actually like, it's a British thing, but I thought it was a Kiwi thing.
Yeah, because we had the factory.
Yeah. Well, what were they doing there?
I don't know.
Just like gaslighting us. They're like, we'll keep the factory up, but like we're not actually turning out any chocolate.
Yeah, no chocolate's being made here. Oh my gosh, that is a huge conspiracy.
Yeah. We really like ran with it thinking it was ours.
Did they just own that building and nothing? No, but there was tours. There were tours, right?
I think they probably made a little bit, but not a lot. Do you buy Cadbury's now?
Very, very, very occasionally.
I feel like there was that huge like palm oil like conference, and that was when Whittakers were like, get him. Like, yeah, this is our chance.
Mm.
And like, that was it.
But Cadbury's no palm oil anymore. Nestle, right. Palm oil, yes. Nestle, big bad boys. Cadbury, Nestle. I think, are all... Because, and we all really got back into Cadbury when Caramel came out. I think we can all be brave enough
true.
To admit that.
Yeah, that's the last time we really did buy it.
Mm, yeah, and then Whittaker's, of course, released Blondie, so now you don't even have to do it for that.
It's too sweet for me, weirdly. God, this is a name. This is truly
so
a name.
So much food chat today. So much food chat.
Sorry. I should really be talking about like the vibe in Melbourne.
Yeah,
give you an Australian report.
What is the vibe in Melbourne?
I'm staying in a suburb called Cremorne.
Where's that?
Yeah, exactly. It's just out of Richmond. So I feel like I really live here. I'm getting a sense of what it's like to be a local here.
Nice. How do you get in and out? Is there a tram all the way in?
Tram it all the way. God, they're so lucky they kept their trams.
But are you in the free zone or do you have to tap on?
No, I'm tapping on and I'm tapping off.
Nice.
Yeah, which is really good. I mean, that's really about it. It's like, it is very similar to New Zealand in so many respects, except that, you know, it's 6:30 where you are.
Yeah.
So it's 4:30 where I am.
Huge difference. Cold in Aotearoa today. So it's cold enough
I'm
for it to
autumn.
Be a news story. You're
a
into
new story.
Autumn?
Yeah, big time. I love it. This season is so hot and it's the sexiest season of the year.
To me, it's very grim. To me, it's really a sign that dark times are like it's been getting darker earlier every day, and I'm like,
yeah,
to
I find
me,
that
like,
romantic.
No,
we didn't even have a summer, right? It was just a couple of days.
Yeah, I got a all right summer because I was in the South Island for a bit of it, and that was nicer, but. Auckland got messed up. And when I went to Dunedin, I got there and it was like so cold. And they were like, you literally are 2 days late from the best summer Dunedin's ever had. They were like, it's been hot, hot, hot all the time. 25 degrees. Dunedin's been absolutely loving it.
That's just classic, isn't it? You always arrive somewhere and they're like, you've just missed the good weather.
Yeah, yeah. Bloody. So that's another reason why I was kind of, I wasn't fully happy while I was in Dunedin. Because I just missed out on the goodies.
Well, I mean, what else is there left to discuss?
I'm sure there was something I wanted to talk to you about. Maybe it was Lana Del Rey.
You've left it to, you know, 40 minutes in to bring it up, so it can't have been too pressing.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
What was it about Lana Del Rey? She done something.
She got a new album out. It came out Friday. Did you know there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard?
What's that? Did I know what?
Did you know there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard? That's the name of the album. It's also the name of one of the tracks.
Is she gay?
No, she's as straight as they come. And actually, when you hear her talk and see her vibe in real life, she could not be a more kind of just basic bee to me. But then her music is so interesting and weird. But here's actually what I wanted to say about Lana Del Rey. She's released too much music. And there was something that was really bugging me. In the promotion for this new album, she did an interview where she said, her album that came out last year, Blue Bannisters, she was like, I didn't do any promo because I didn't want anyone to listen to it. And God, it pisses... I don't like how musicians sometimes bag their own music.
Well, I definitely bag my own jokes.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. But are you ever like... Because I remember when Charlie XCX was like, this album is all trash that I released. Like, and it was only like 6 months after it came out. She was like, it's all trash. I'm never doing that song again. Would you ever say that about one of your shows? Just immediately be like, it was trash.
No. It's like... it's a defensive thing, right? Like where you're like a little insecure about it. So it's better to pile down on it.
Yeah. And Grimes has done the same thing. I remember Grimes being like, that album
you'll
that
do
you
it when
all
they
loved,
cook.
I hated it.
They do it all the time when you cook, you know, you like make dinner for people and you're like, I'm so sorry, this is utter shit. This is garbage, don't even put it in your mouth.
True. Yeah, I do that every time. I put the plate down. If I've kind of freestyled the meal, I'm like, now I'm worried about this.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, yeah, I guess I almost felt the impetus to do it on stage in Dunedin when I was like the first night that I did the show, and I know there's significant stretches where I'm kind of winging it because I've never like spoken that bit out loud, or I haven't fully perfected it in writing, because I'm like, I just kind of am going to work it out. And there's a big part of me that wants to say out loud, by the way,
I just made that up. I'm a genius.
I'm a little That's what I like trash.
We better go.
Yeah.
You know.
When do you have your first show, Chris?
I open, on Thursday. So that may be today, or that may be yesterday, or that might be, it depends when this gets released.
Yeah, so true.
So I could well be open now. So if you are in Melbourne and you want to come see me live, and, you know, I'll discuss less food-related subjects, then, you know, you can book a ticket, and the link's in my bio, as it always is.
I think you should open the show. Where is the Marmite? Where is it? It's getting my goat.
Marmite be like, Vegemite be like, yeah, a peanut butter. Where's that from?
Oh, you know, yeah, that's sort of cool.
Yeah, that's sort of cool. What I'm thinking. Where is peanut butter from? I think we should leave it on that.
Nelson, if you're talking about pigs.
Oh, yeah, true.
Wellington, if you're talking about pigs and fox. And those are the only two places that peanut butter comes from.
Alrighty.
Okay,
you want to plug your shows?
Yeah, I'm performing in Christchurch in 2 weeks in Little Andromeda, and actually the tickets are selling quite fast for that. And then I'm performing in the Comedy Festival in Wellington and Auckland.
It's that time of the year again.
Yeah, sure is.
We're sorry about this podcast. It was total shit. We shouldn't have released it. We don't want you to listen to this one.
It's bullshit.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.